Podcast. I'm Allison Little, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur who has built businesses and brands for the past decade. I'm passionate about helping high achievers launch to the next level.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Launch Podcast with Allison Little. Today's episode is called Become a Joy Junkie with Amy Smith. Oh my gosh, I am so excited about having Amy on the podcast today. Amy is a certified and credentialed life coach and hypnotherapist, a masterful speaker, and personal empowerment expert. She's the founder of thejoyjunkie.com. She uses her roles as coach, writer, podcaster, and speaker to move individuals from a place of radical personal empowerment and self-worth. And I am just thrilled. We were laughing and having fun right before we started this. So I literally had to like calm myself down so that I could speak to each and every one of you. So hello, Amy. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm so excited to be here. We already kicked it off with lots of joy. So that's awesome.
That is. I love laughter and how it brings joy right away, right? So just tell us a little bit more about yourself and the work that you do.
Sure. So I really view joy more as the outcome that we are searching for. So we know that pretty much all of our motivation in life comes from either the pursuit of pleasure or the avoidance of pain, right? So we are always in pursuit of feeling better, feeling good, loving life. And so we're constantly kind of searching outside of ourselves. Maybe it's this perfect career. Maybe it's this perfect marriage. Maybe if I finally have a child, maybe, you know, all of these things outside of ourselves, maybe if my family approves of me or loves me, then I will be okay. Then I'll be lovable. Then maybe I'll access joy. So the work that I do in this world explain sort of in an internal component and an external component. So if those are the goals, to be happy, to have confidence, to love life, to experience joy, there's this internal element of genuinely believing in your own intrinsic value, believing that you are enough, that you are worthy, that you are deserving of having the things in your life that you desire. And that tends to be one of the most prevalent disempowering beliefs that people have. I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. And then the external piece is, okay, if I do attain this new belief system of believing that I am enough or that I am valuable, how do I now communicate with the outside world? So what does boundaries look like? What do tough conversations look like? How do I say no without feeling guilt? How do I find my voice and actually use it? And what are the semantics to actually say? Right? Like we see all these great ideas of like, just speak up for yourself, but we don't have the literal words of what that might look like to ask an adult child to move out of the house or to tell your family you don't believe in the religion you were raised in or to come out of the closet or to tell your partner you want to go back to school or any number of different things that we have never been given language for. So that is pretty much in a nutshell what I do in my corner of the internet.
Oh, that's amazing. And you know, one of the things that I absolutely loved as I was researching you is you said, let's take you from a place of being a people-pleasing, guilt-ridden perfectionist to a confident, courageous badass. Yes, please. And, you know, I think that work is so important, right? And especially in the world where everyone has value, right? And a lot of times we get in our own way. I remember for a long time, I put everybody before myself and I lost myself and I didn't know exactly what to do because I thought it was quote unquote selfish for me to chase my goals and my dreams. So how often do you see that in the work that you do where especially women entrepreneurs or women creatives that are kind of stuck because they put everybody else before their own needs?
That's right. That's right. So I see that constantly and it varies depending on who I'm speaking with. But I think what's really key that we can't overstep here is how much societal influence creates these deep-seated beliefs disproportionately for women, and then even more so if you're a woman of color or a woman with a disability or part of the LGBTQ community. You have all these additional levels of oppression where there are quite literally societal forces that are saying you aren't enough. You don't matter. So I personally feel like it's a fierce act of liberation and resistance for us to actually say, no, I deserve to be treated and paid as much as men. And my voice matters just as much as whoever else might be in this space. But it's a very deep belief system. And sometimes it's tethered to various types of religion and things like that, that promote that same hierarchy. So a lot of times we have to look at each individual person and dissect, is this a family of origin thing? Where did we start creating this belief or this idea that everybody else matters more than you? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I see as a very stark difference between men and women is that largely women will believe that they are responsible for everybody else's emotions. So if there's any kickback, if there's any sadness, we immediately go into this place of I'm responsible to repair that. So we have such a difficult time allowing somebody to be in an uncomfortable position or not liking us, let's say.
Yes. Oh, that speaks to me in such a deep level, right? If you, and you feel like you're responsible for fixing all of the situations or being liked or being, you know, kind, even if other people are unkind or disrespectful, to be able to speak up and to be able to say the words, I think is really key.
A lot of times I will say that putting everybody in front of yourself is poison disguised as nobility. We think that it's so noble and that it's so honorable, but that's just because a large swath of our society has told us that that's what we're good for, is caretaking only for everyone else and not for ourselves. So is it an amazing thing to care about others? Of course. Yes. I'm not saying stop doing that and become a total asshole. I'm saying also value yourself just as much.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful thing. You know, one of the things you talk about a lot is people pleasing and how a lot of times we get stuck in this people pleasing pattern. How do we deal with that?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. First off, I would say give yourself a hefty dose of compassion because we're actually biologically wired to belong. So if we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, one of our primitive human needs is to belong to a group. So for our hunter and gatherer ancestors, if you were isolated, that meant impending death. So we developed this need for groupings of people and to be accepted by the tribe in order to survive. Now, many years later, the way that translates is, oh my gosh, I need to have my in-laws approve of how I'm raising my children. Or, oh my gosh, these people that I'm pitching in my business have to say yes to this gig. If I don't, the actual subconscious fear is that there's a threat to you, right? You don't consciously think that you might die, but subconsciously it's a, oh my gosh. So recognizing that there's a very real reason why we want to gain favor in other people's lives. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I will say is beyond that, the best way to figure out where are my opportunities to start speaking up and advocating for myself is to take an inventory of when you are chronically complaining about someone to another party, to the wrong party. So for example, you're really upset with your spouse, your partner, and your best friend gets an earful, or you're so frustrated with this business partnership and only your therapist knows, or you get my picture. So you're speaking up, but you're speaking up to the wrong people, and mm-hmm. you're all the while gathering a bunch of this resentment. So just taking that small inventory gives you a clue in of, okay, these are some of the areas and the people that I might need to start speaking up for myself with.
I love that. And you know, what I found in my own life is I had to set boundaries with different types of people in my life because I didn't have any boundaries. I wasn't good with boundaries. I'd never really understood boundaries. Yeah. I was always told and taught and that I needed to be everything for everyone. And I started to put up boundaries and say things like no. And it felt really uncomfortable at first. So speak into that a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, again, if we're looking at the neuroscience, like you have a very well-worn neural pathway in the brain that says people pleasing is safe. right? So you've developed some sort of positive association of here's how I can take care of myself, here's how I can stay safe. So the minute we try to switch that neural pathway into one of establishing boundaries or saying no, the critical factor of the mind or the inner critic is going to go batshit. It is going to tell you why it's dangerous, why you absolutely cannot do that, and will give you a bunch of narrative about why you need to stay a people pleaser. So recognizing that in itself can be incredibly helpful. So again, knowing that there's going to be all of this kickback saying, hey, don't, let's not do that. The other thing that I think is really important about developing any type of a skill, whether it is speaking up for yourself, anything related to confidence, we assume that it's some sort of magical destination, that I'm going to all of a sudden feel so confident and be able to just very easily and articulately say what I need. That's not how confidence is built. Confidence is built and skill sets are built by doing something in the face of fear and choosing courage over and over and over again. So I recently was doing some research around imposter complex, mm-hmm. and I was so surprised, well, I guess not super surprised, to find out that people like Michelle Obama, Tina Fey, Maya Angelou, Meryl Streep have all said, I feel like I'm an imposter, like I'm going to be found out. What is that? That's fear. But why are they where they are? Because they had the fear and they chose the courage over and over and over again. And so it's not that anybody listening is incapable of speaking up. It's twofold. It's one is having the actual ability, the words to do so, of what should I actually say? The other piece is believing that you're allowed to, right? Believing that you actually deserve to speak up for yourself. And I think once you have those two things, then it just becomes a matter of practice. It mm-hmm. just becomes a matter of repetition. The same way we learn how to ride a bike, right? I mean, it's as rudimentary as that. It's not a secret sauce. It's a matter of confronting fear over and over again. So yes.
I think Seth Godin calls it dancing with your fears. And I love that idea, because each and every time that you come up with something, and again, I didn't have anybody that told me this. It was like through learning and through trial and error that the things that are big and scary and audacious, those things that are, you know, like, oh my gosh, what if I could? And you go after them, you know, something magical happens inside of you, because as soon as you reach that destination, you're like, oh my gosh, I turned into somebody different and I could do it. And then you gain a little bit more confidence and then you go look for the next thing. And it's a never ending cycle, right? Like to build that confidence muscle, you have to start doing things. You can't just sit around waiting for things to come to you. It's not like the opportunity is going to knock on your door.
That's right. And especially if you are in the habit of being a people pleaser, you're going to get a shit ton of kickback, because guaranteed there are a lot of people in your life who like and prefer the doormat version of you. They like the version of you who will drop anything. They like the version. It's like, oh, Allison will do it. Oh, Amy will do it. She'll handle it. They enjoy that role. And because you haven't spoken up, they may have no idea that you don't even like that you're not even happy.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Ugh. So you need to at least give those people the opportunity to be what you need. And you have to do that by vocalizing and establishing some sort of boundary. And I know we probably don't have a time to go into a ton of that today, but I talk about that a lot on my show, like very tactical, specific things that people can employ.
Absolutely. It's so good. And, you know, I think all of this is just, it's building up that confidence, understanding that you're enough, understanding that you're the exact right person and that you have value. One of the things I've talked to, I don't know, thousands and thousands of women from all over the globe. And the number one thing that I hear is just lack of confidence is stopping them from going to that next level, whether it's in their career or their business. So what would you say to those women who are like, I want to go to the next level, but my confidence is just, you know, I don't know what to do.
I think you have to attack it from both the external and the internal. And what I mean by that is the external would look like action. Okay. That would look like getting the damn website up, That would look like joining the networking group. That would look like hiring a coach. It's actually taking the action. Now, the internal piece is bolstering that muscle or creating that muscle of, I am worthy of accomplishing these things. Because what we do see with plenty of people who are highly successful, they've taken all of the action, they've checked off all of the boxes, but they're not happy. They're not living a joyful, fulfilled life. So I think it's not just about the action and checking the boxes. It's both. It's also making sure that you are fostering a really healthy relationship with yourself. And that is, that may also be hiring a coach. But I think a lot of times, especially if we're ambitious and we have these big dreams, is we look at all the logistics, is just how, what are the actions I can take? And we want it to be something magical outside of ourselves. But you also have to do that internal work. And I think you can do them both at the same time. You don't have to wait until you're fully in love with yourself to take any action. You can attack it from both angles.
I love that. I love that you say that because I think that's so true. And that aligns with the work that I do too, is I think that, you know, if you're going to do something, start taking action toward it. Start, I call it imperfect action. Start taking imperfect action toward that goal or that dream, because what will happen is you're going to start to get feedback right away and you can see what's working, what's not working, how is it feeling? And then you're also doing the internal work of like, okay, who do I need to become in order to be the person that can achieve that goal or that dream, right? Who do I need to start showing up as and really truly stepping into that new version of yourself and being okay with taking the time and energy to become that person, right? Because a lot of times we wait for somebody else's approval or we wait for something else to change in our life in order to just say, you know, one day you just have to say, you know what, I'm worthy, I'm enough, I'm going to do it. And I don't care if anybody else understands, but you know, it's right now is the time.
That's right. You know, that reminds me, I don't know if you are familiar with the book, The Top Regrets of the Dying or The Five Regrets of the Dying by Brony Ware. The number one regret is that I lived a life according to what other people wanted of me instead of the life that I wanted to live. That is essentially on their deathbed, people saying, regardless of race or gender or any sort of social construct, as with death as the great equalizer, the resounding regret was I people pleased too goddamn much. And I didn't go after the things that I wanted. Why? Because of some of these things that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. This idea of maybe I don't deserve it or maybe I can't accomplish it. And one of the things that I will oftentimes tell people is be the person you want to attract. Be the friend you want to attract. Be the employer you want to attract, the business partner, the you know spouse, whatever it is, but start to cultivate that within yourself, because that other person is not going to complete you. That's ridiculous.
Right? That's yeah. So true. I all of that. Yes. Yes. Okay, Amy, what are the 2 to 3 things you've done in your life to launch to the next level?
First one, hands down, is learning actually how to speak up for myself. I have not always been this vocal. I talk about that a lot on my own show, and it was a very sordid tale, but that radically changed my life and obviously influenced the work that I do now. Another thing, about 3 years ago, my husband and I made the decision to move from Southern California to Charlotte, North Carolina, and just basically uproot and change absolutely everything. And I really wish we would have done it sooner, but that completely changed my quality of life. It's a very different income bracket. So it's just fantastic being out of Southern California. And then thirdly, I would say, as it relates to business and launching, was dramatically increasing my prices. And that has been various iterations over the course of, you know, the 12, 13 years I've been in business. And there have been some egregious breakdowns throughout that process. But that was also a piece of me acknowledging the merit and the quality of work that I was putting into the world and demanding an energetic equivalent in the form of currency. And that completely shifted how I run my business.
I love that. Talk into that. Talk into your putting your whatever you just said about money
Yeah.
I love how you said that. And I want to dig into that a little bit, because I think, you know, that's a really, really key part, that if you want to launch to the next level, you need to value yourself first, and you need to expect that others are going to value you. And the form is typically currency, right? But a lot of times I'm seeing people will devalue themselves in that, right, in that way. So I'd love for you to speak a little bit more into that.
Sure. So one piece of it is the breadth and the depth of your acumen and your authority on the topic that you're sharing. So as I mentioned, I went to coaching school probably about 15 years ago. I'm certified in NLP and tapping, EFT. I'm a hypnotherapist. So I have sort of this bevy of ways that I have invested time, energy, money on becoming an authority. That's worth something. So when I was newer and I did not have all of that accumulated, the request monetarily was a lot different. So now I look at it as, okay, with the amount of ability that I have, or the fact that I don't really ever feel stumped anymore. Nobody ever stumps me anymore. There's always a solution or a tactic or a tool or an assignment. Based off of all of that, how do I feel about them paying me this much in the form of money? Am I matching or exceeding that in the form of knowledge, education, and empathy, support, being there for them? Is that an equal energetic exchange? The other thing that was hugely helpful for me in that was how much I would invest in something else. So if I looked at, okay, somebody who had equal or greater authority on something that I needed to learn, like a business model or financial investing or something like that, what would I invest? And if I would invest 10 grand on, you know, a program that was, you know, 12 weeks or had this much engagement or this much whatever, but then I'm charging $400. Mm-hmm. Now what I'm willing to invest does not match. And when you show up and feel like you're not being paid something that warrants how you are delivering, you start to curb your shine. You start to stifle your brilliance and you don't care as much about your delivery. Heightening that investment changes how people show up. Because I will tell you what, I used to, when I charged a lot lower, there were plenty of people who didn't finish the program. There was no skin in the game. Now, out of hundreds of people who have gone through my, you know, my signature program, I think I've had two not actually complete. Everybody completes because there's so much skin in the game. It matters for both of us. Mm-hmm. So it's a game changer. It's scary as shit, but it's a game changer.
Right, right. And I think that's an important piece of the puzzle, right? As you value something, as you invest money, time, energy, effort into something, you are going to appreciate it more. It's more likely that you're going to do it. When you don't have that time, money, effort, energy invested in something, you're just like, it is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. If I do it, I do it. If I don't, I'm not out anything. And so really understanding that about your own business or your career, what are you investing your time, energy, money, effort into? And are you getting that energetically back or not? And really evaluating that is so important. And it'll build your confidence muscle, right? Mm-hmm. As you value yourself and as you do this, you will build that. You know, this year has been difficult for many people. So Amy, what is something that you would recommend to do during a stressful or difficult time to find more joy too?
Well, I think I would be remiss if I didn't say hypnosis. I mean, it truly is one of those things that is 100% natural. It's available to every single person on the planet, whether no matter what their background is like. And we naturally go into a state of hypnosis twice a day, already at minimum, either as we're awakening in the morning and as we're going to sleep at night, even in various states of like prayer or meditation, or if you've ever had that situation that many of us have experienced where you're driving somewhere and you get to your location and you're like, holy shit, I do not remember this drive. That was a state of hypnosis. You're able to access the subconscious mind by bypassing the critical factor of the mind, which is your inner critic. So if you're trying to tell yourself, like, just relax, just relax, just relax consciously, your inner critic is like, why? I can't relax. I can't relax. Things are so stressful. I need to worry about this and I need to worry about that. But if you're actually able to go through a process to get you into that slower brainwave state, which is the hypnotic trance, so to speak, you can start telling yourself things that you want to believe and you want to anchor into that subconscious faculty. Things like, this is just a season. This is temporary. This too shall pass. You are far more capable than you give yourself credit for. You know, whatever the beliefs are that you want to attach to, hypnosis can be an incredible way to do that.
Oh, so good. Awesome. And I don't think anybody has ever had that as their answer. Typically, you know, meditation has come up, going for a walk has come up, but never hypnosis. And I truly believe that these types of things are so important, right? To our mental health, to our emotional health, to even our physical health. I mean, think about all the ways that you can really reset yourself. Well, Amy, this has been such a pleasure. How do people get a hold of you?
Sure. So my hub is over at thejoyjunkie.com. Junkie is J-U-N-K-I-E. And you will see just a myriad of different freebies over there. I actually do have a free anxiety and fear hypnosis that you'll see over there. Workbooks and podcasts, all sorts of stuff that you can tap into at zero cost. And then same handle at the Joy Junkie pretty much everywhere on social. I hang out the most on Instagram though. So yeah, come hang out and see what you think. I was telling Allison earlier, I'm a bit of a sailor, so expect a lot of F-bombs. If that's not for you, feel free to decline. No worries.
Oh, yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Amy. You have brought so much energy and light and just wisdom to the Launch Podcast today. We appreciate it. To all of our listeners who loved Amy, make sure you check out her podcast. Make sure you support the work that she's doing and make sure you share this episode. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Launch Podcast. I'm Allison Little, and I'm so excited that you spent your time with me. Look for future episodes and connect with me on social media or at my website at www.allisonlittle.com.